What it do, fam, bam, thank you, ma'am. This is another trip report, and this is about the first time that I found quote-unquote real LSD. I thought I was doing LSD for a while until I had the real thing, and then it was made very clear to me that I had not. This trip report was written about 2 years and 3 months ago, and I'm just going to hop right into this experience. All right. I finally found LSD. I've changed a lot since getting turned on to psychedelics. 4 years ago, I was a rigid atheist starting his first year of college. I watched Hitchens' debates as I fell asleep. That will give the right kind of person a clear image of the kind of ego I insisted on cultivating. A chance mushroom experience with some close friends sent me down a trail where the voices of Duncan Trussell and Joe Rogan boomed through the foliage. Statues of Terrence McKenna and Robert Anton Wilson stood among the trees winking at me. Dozens of books laid along the way, notably Pike Hall and Prometheus Rising, and the ghost of Jung served as my Virgil with his scepter of synchronicity. I've spent years in this allegorical forest. Always with my cell phone, half connected to the world I feel myself detached from but not abandoning. I don't think we're supposed to leave our brothers and sisters so we can go to the top of a mountain and sit raptured by our meetings with the Godhead. It's harder to stay and to try to help. I want to stay and to try to help. Over the course of a couple of years, I've put a total of 9 or 10 tabs on my tongue, not at the same time, everyone, but over the course of a couple of years. Some giving a twinge of rainbowic visions, some offering trailing images, and others only giving a sense of mild anxiety and artificial hyperness, all of them feeling like visual playthings, but nothing more. I thought this was LSD. This was not LSD. On a Wednesday night at 3:03 a.m., I put a tab on my tongue, and the moment it touched it, I felt a barely perceivable electric shock. I will always have the skeptic in my head, and he is asking, did you imagine that or did that really happen? My skeptic got his ass beat this night. I don't know whether or not it was real, and as I learned that night, it doesn't matter. What matters is what is experience. The experiential is real. A quick side note for other explorers. Arrowhead is invaluable. Thank you, Arrowhead. Most quote-unquote acid, a lot of acid, is not acid. If it is bitter, it is not acid. If it does not glow under ultraviolet light, it is not acid. Not most, but a lot of the tabs that young kids are putting in their mouths are what are called N-bombs. Do your research, be careful, and good luck. Like I said, check out Arrowhead. As I start to try to explain the following 8 hours, know that my words are worlds from the experience, but such is the case for all writing about psychedelics. Writing being one of the skills my meat suit has acquired, it will be the spear and net that I use to go hunting in this dimension. Although trying to capture this experience isn't much of a hunt as it is an offering only Atlas could shoulder. What was given was a world, and what I brought back is only a handful of sand. Some try conveying the mystical with paint, others with dance, with love, spoken word, and with some, they just remain silent out of respect. We all have our artistic function, and mine is going to be writing, that I am now reading to you. The events aren't necessarily in chronological order, but these are the main landmarks of my experience with my first time with LSD. Okay, so I've taken the tab. I'm with 4 friends. 2 took a tab with me who also are first timers. The other 2 had already taken the same batch of tabs a couple of nights ago, and they were our guides for tonight. I sat and I talked with one of the sober ones the first 30 minutes after ingesting the tab. We talked about psychiatry. Her and I are both interested in the profession. I was talking at length about transference and how she should be careful about it in the future. Bless her and most of my friends for indulging me. I talk a lot. She is attractive, and paired with the inherent power and balance of therapists and clients, I thought it an important idea worth discussing. At some point, I remember looking at the carpet, and I had the audacity to think, in my head, that the tab wasn't the real deal, as if on cue, as if waiting for me to doubt. The moment I thought that thought, I began seeing a spinning, translucent, kaleidoscopic image. It was like a kaleidoscope was superimposed on my visual field. There it calmly spun. I must have gazed into this vision silently for at least 30 minutes. And a quick side note. I've done a lot of mushrooms, and I've seen things wave and breathe, but this was the first time that I felt like I truly saw a hallucination. Like, it wasn't a play on my eyes. It was truly like my sense perception was no longer giving me accurate feedback. It's kind of hard to explain, but it was a true hallucination. Safe to say that the tab was the real deal. From this moment, time wasn't experienced the same. The best that I can describe it was that during that time, I had about 6 to 7 mental breaths. The inhales were the chemical effects, and the exhales were these brief moments of my ego resurfacing, mental faculties totally intact. Every time thinking, huh, is it over? Nope. It was like I was being forced to scuba dive. Whenever I'm under the water, the recording Eric part of my mind would be offline. And whenever I was back to the surface, the ego Eric part could come back online, and I'd have this moment to marvel at the beautiful chaos that I was experiencing, and then I would be forced to submerge again. So my first dive into the experience began with the kaleidoscope. The next landmark in the whirl of experiences was when the girl I was talking to took a photo with a vintage Polaroid camera. I thought I could see electrons. Yeah. Anyways, when she took the picture, it felt like I saw the photons in the room absorbed by the camera. Like everything had this electrical cloud buzzing around it, and the camera absorbed, sucked in the excess photons into it. This event had me thinking about the native people who believed that the camera sucked out their soul. The scientist in me found this very interesting. No fear, though. The most vivid and disturbing landmark happened at the peak of the trip. I'll have to use metaphors. Imagine that your entire field of vision, the entirety of what you see right now, imagine that it is like a quilt. The stitching is so fine, you can only see a single whole image. But I could see the stitching. It looked like buzzing, multicolored electrons that made up the stitching of this quilt. There was an energetic entity breathing behind the quilt. With each breath that the unknown took, the quilt would swell like it was swelling towards me, like there was a thing behind it breathing. And then some of the stitching would start to rip apart. In these openings, I could see the thing behind the quilt. I felt like I should have been fucking terrified, but I wasn't. The thing was more an environment or dimension rather than a person or an animal or a monster. This dimension behind the reality quilt seemed technological, alive in a deeply primal way. Immensely energetic, and awe-full, full of awe. No words that I know can wrangle it. It was unlike anything I've ever imagined. It felt alive. There was a color that I saw inside these gaps that I think, out of everything learned that night, stays with me most vividly. It was this kind of purple, but it wasn't really purple. It was like an abundance of red and blood furiously smashing together with an energy that makes me tense, and when thinking about it, gives me an urge to scream. It seemed like the hues blood looked like as it appears through the veins and arteries. The drowning skeptic in me gurgled, "Is this what it looks like inside your brain? The blood and the tissue metabolizing the chemical?" Another part of me that I don't think I've ever heard speak before said something along the lines of, "Stop. You cannot. There is no description. There are no judgments. It is." The skeptic was silent. Before I go on, I want to try to connect to what this thing felt like. It's the closest thing to a visual representation of what I think God, or what feels like a God, would be. It felt almost like an ocean, like if the ocean could feel like a single entity. It felt like that thing was the thing behind the quilt of reality, and that it was breathing, and that it was just transcendently huge and powerful in a way that I can't comprehend. And I think the most disturbing thing about it, or the most awful thing about it, was the ferocity with which it was churning its energy. Like the blue and the red were just smashing together in a way that, you know, terrified me. But I didn't feel fear. It was such an odd experience. But on some part, you know, because I've thought about this for 2 years now, about like what that thing was. And it's something that I'm sure I'll get into more as the podcast evolves. But I think that that is a representation of the psyche, and that the psyche is the thing behind your experiential reality that creates it. This is something that I'll dive more into when I get Don Hoffman back on the podcast. He's a cognitive psychologist who has some really interesting research on the nature of our perceptual system. But essentially, I believe that the psyche has evolved through evolutionary processes to create an illusion that we perceive through, that helps our meat suits basically live long enough to procreate. And that you can, you know, as you do psychedelics or other experiences that help you hone your awareness, you get to slowly look beyond the veil. But the thing beyond the veil, I think, is not pragmatic. It's not useful. But that's something to explore more. Let's get back to the motherfucking story. Okay. There were multiple times that I felt like I should have fallen into bad thinking patterns due to a bad initial thought. But each time, the other part of me saw the trap and just walked over it. A common trigger to bad thoughts while I'm on psychedelics is when I have to use the bathroom. My bathroom walls, this is in the house that I used to live in, my bathroom walls are a gross yellow color, and shit and piss is shit and piss. This time was different though. I went to sit on the toilet, and while the patterns on my walls danced and flashed and winked, I thought about a book I had read a little while ago. We Are the Shitting Gods. That thought sat there in my mind like a golden tablet. I got it. Our creative minds are godly. Look at the world that we've manifested. To create it is to reflect the image of God. But while we are godly, we have this flesh sack that reminds us that we are destined to feed worms and bacteria. It's heavy, and I'm glad that I had a chance to glimpse the godly. The most beautiful part of the entire night was the bond that I felt with the other four humans around me. We've talked about it before. We feel like a tribe. Most of them feel closer to the people within the group than they do with their own family. Blood is not chosen. Some of my friends come from broken homes. We have to accept the hand that fate gave us, but tribes are discovered. We found each other through the billion armed crowd. We've cultivated honesty and genuineness and a sincere air of acceptance. I trust these people in a way that heals. It takes courage to trust this much, and I admire all of them. A quick side note. When I had these thoughts while on LSD, I thought about corporations. These things try to fulfill this sacred urge to connect in a tribal way. Most seem to fail. But I don't know, though. This is something to explore more. Those were the major landmarks of my trip. I began to feel functional around 8 or 9 a.m. I had only taken 2/3 a tab. Okay, so this tab that we had was just a really long strip. And I don't know how we cut it. I for sure got more than a normal tab. This is still to this day the most intense LSD experience I've had. Anyways, back to the ride. I was done. It is 4 days later now, and I still feel a slight sense of being wounded. For 24 years, my vision has been a reliable ally. But these hallucinations that I had on LSD have shown me how vulnerable a foundation that my perceptual life is. Now my brain knows, and it's strange. I also feel as if a great deal of the experience was for my subconscious, and that the parts of my mental faculties that I don't have conscious access to, I feel that they learned many more lessons that night than my conscious mind did. One thing that I'd like to get out, synchronicity. I have three ideas about synchronicity that I got from Carl Jung, Robert Anton Wilson, and Terence McKenna. Jung gave us the actual concept. Wilson believed it happens when one is living the life their soul is meant to live. And McKenna thought synchronicity is clustered around significant moments in one's life, particularly around strong psychedelic experiences. I've had about 5 or 6 notable synchronicities in my life before taking LSD. But the day of and the day after LSD, I had 5. These type of events are easy to write off with some psychological terms like false positive blindness, cognitive dissonance, and the bullseye fallacy. But to each their own. It enhances the joy and the awe in my life, so I keep them. Fundamentally, all thoughts are symbol systems that help us understand. Doing the work to find and test multiple symbol systems is one of the true fruits of this life. If anybody... This is something that I wrote 2 years ago that I'm not going to re-say on the podcast now because I can't. Okay. This is also a quote that I ended the writing with. It's from the Bhagavad Gita, and it's one of my favorite quotes of all time. You have control over doing your respective duty only, but no control or claim over the results. The fruits of work should not be your motive. You should never be inactive. And this is why I podcast, guys. Namaste.